Amen. Amen. Genesis 35, I'm preaching to you today on this thought, at war with the wolf. At war with the wolf, all right? And it ain't all blood and guts, so just hang with me, okay? Amen. The Bible said, Genesis 35, 16, and they journeyed from Bethel. There was but a little way to come to Ephrathah. And Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. It came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, Fear not, thou shalt have this son also. It came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. Rachel died and was buried in the way of Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar upon a grave, that is the pillar of Rachel's grave, unto this day. Now flip over, if you will, to chapter number 49. If you understand all that takes place, Joseph has been betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery. He has been carried to Egypt. We know everything that he went through by way of hardship in Egypt and how that God turned all that around, Brother Jack, and promoted him second in the kingdom of Egypt. The land of Egypt saved second only to Pharaoh. And we know the story of how his brothers were made to come down there. He reveals himself. And when you come to chapter number 49... Joseph is, of course, in Egypt. All of his brothers are in Egypt. Even his daddy, Jacob, and all his family and all that he has has been brought to the land of Egypt. And in chapter 49, Jacob is getting ready to go off the scene. And in doing so, according to verse number 1, he has all his sons gathered round his bedside. He wants to communicate some last words to his sons. He's going to give some of them a rebuke, and many of them are going to receive blessing. He's going to give them some last statements about what he thinks about them or what he sees in them. Look with me in Genesis 49 and in verse number 27. Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. And so when Benjamin was born, we'll look at that in a moment, a few things there. Jacob said, this is the son of my right hand. This is Benjamin. Now Benjamin's got some years on him, and there's some things that have begun to show in his life. Of all the good things that Jacob said about some of them other boys, he gave Benjamin a very short, a very direct description as to what he was. He just simply said, young man, you are a wolf. How would you like your daddy on his deathbed to say, you ain't nothing more than a raven wolf? Amen. Look with me in Deuteronomy 33. I'm glad that ain't the end of it. Amen. Deuteronomy 33. Now we're in the last days of Moses. Moses is getting ready to go off the scene. He's aware of that. And he begins to call the different tribes, the different elders of the tribes of Israel, which are representations of the same sons of Jacob. And notice with me in verse number 12, and of Benjamin he, Moses, said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long. And here's where we want to get to, and he shall dwell between his, that is the Lord, he shall dwell between his shoulders. Amen. And so Jacob said on his deathbed, his day of departure, Benjamin, you're a wolf. Moses said on the day of his departure, you're the beloved of the Lord. And you're like a lamb that has been laid upon the shoulders of the Lord, your shepherd. Amen. Somebody said, well, what was Benjamin? Was he a wolf or was he a lamb? And I want to show you this morning, Benjamin, like you, is both. Amen. You can be seated this morning at war with the wolf. Heavenly Father, I ask you this morning that you would help us now. Lord, take these thoughts. Lord, have been impressed on our heart the last couple days to, Lord, preach on this morning. Lord, in many ways, maybe we don't feel like we're all prepared to the degree that we should be. Lord, maybe there's some things that have laid, uncovered yet in our study. And yet, Lord, we feel like what we've got is what you have for the moment and for the hour and for this service. And so, Lord, I pray you'd make it, Lord, alive and real and big in our midst. And Lord, we'll bless you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We want to study this man, this name, Benjamin, this morning. And when we get to this thought, I think it'll be laid out as we go through before we're done. And we'll see this morning this thought at war with the wolf. And so this morning, when we come to the life in this man by the name of Benjamin, I draw your attention first of all this morning to Benjamin the boy. Benjamin the boy. We've read and began to read this morning, studying his life. As we've come to Benjamin, when we're introduced to him in Genesis 35, we are told of the day of his birth, of the day of his arrival, the day when, not necessarily he began to be in conception, but the day he began to be as he would be held, he would be seen, he would be heard, he would be known among the family of Jacob. As we read this, we find that in this encounter of his day of his birth, and it was done so in great travail and through great, the Bible said that it was hard labor bringing this life into this world. And so Rachel travailed, the midwife was there to assist and to encourage and to help and assist in bringing this young baby boy into this world. He didn't come easy. I wouldn't say I dare not even try to act like I know what it is to give birth to a man, a child. Every one of you women, you'd raise up and you'd smack me upside my head. But the Bible said she was in hard labor, that there are some circumstances that were beyond the ordinary. This was no easy task, bringing this baby boy into the world. It came through travail, through hard labor. It came through and by way of a death that is the result of Rachel, the mother of this young baby boy that we're going to study this morning. The midwife said, in the midst of all this hard labor, fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And so when we're introduced to him, we're brought to the very day of his birth. Benjamin was born the last of Jacob's 12 sons. He is the last of those 12. He is the second son that would be born to that of his wife Rachel, that wife that had a special place in the heart of Jacob. Of course, his birth, we understand that the first child that Jacob and Rachel had together was none other than the apple of Jacob's eye, his son Joseph. Interesting to me, there is a connection between the birth of this one Benjamin that we're going to study this morning. There is a connection to his birth and the birth of Joseph. I believe you understand this, and Joseph is one of the greatest, if not the greatest, Old Testament type of the Lord Jesus Christ in all the Scripture. He excels in every way of being a depiction of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we won't even enlarge upon that statement this morning. We've done that in the past. We'll do it in the future. I'm sure, but I do want to draw your attention back in chapter number 30. In chapter number 30 and in verse number 22, the Bible said, "And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bare a son, and said, God had taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph and said," here's what I want you to understand, "the Lord shall add to me another son." And so we find there is a miraculous birth, that conception and birth in Joseph. And yet in his birth, in his conception, and his arrival, and his coming into the world, there was attached to that a promise that the Lord would add another son. That there would be another birth that would come in days to come. I'm about to shout. I think about this birth of Benjamin. Literally then is a fulfillment of a promise that was given by Joseph's arrival. I think about you and I as God's people this morning. Our birth, our spiritual birth, that is, as being born again, it is all predicated on the arrival and the promise that was made that when Jesus came in the world, that he was the apple of the Father's eye. He was the only begotten of the Father, and full of grace and full of truth, and that one the Father could say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." But can I say that when Christ came in the world 2,000 years ago, my friend, he did so with a promise in mind that he would add other sons and other daughters into the great family of God. Amen. I see in the birth of Benjamin, amen, I see a fulfillment of the promise of the coming of Joseph and the coming of our Savior Jesus into the world. Our birth, it is and has behind it, my friend, mitigating circumstances. It was no easy birth bringing us in the family of God. Amen. For sinners are born in the kingdom of God and are brought into the new birth in the family of God by way of the new birth through much travail and hard labor. Amen. Oh, my friend, Jesus told this in his earthly ministry about how laboring it is for my friend, religious people, and for rich people, and for people in general to realize what they are and realize what they need, that there is much travail that a man, a woman, a boy, a girl must go through to be brought into the family of God. Amen. In Benjamin the boy, we see that, my friend, a picture of salvation. We see in him a type of our own salvation. Amen. Ain't you glad? Ain't you glad for Joseph? Ain't you glad for our Savior? Amen. They came before you and I, amen, and gave a promise and be others. Listen, amen. He may be the Son in whom the Father's well pleased. He may be the only begotten Son of God, but he's not the only Son of God, for the Bible said he has brought many sons, amen, and is bringing many sons unto glory. And so in Benjamin the boy, we see a type of conversion, a type of the new birth, a type of salvation, a type of what it is, amen, to be given life, spiritual life, amen, in Jesus Christ. I think about Benjamin the boy that at his birth, this boy that is born, he is given two names. And there's a name that is going to come from his mother, but there's a name that is going to come from his father. Hallelujah. Amen. Now when he's born, amen, Rachel in her travail and being nigh unto death, Amen. The last thing she did before she drew her last breath, Brother Randy, was name this boy. And she said, let's call his name Benoni. And she said, the reason I want to call him Benoni is that this is the son of my sorrow. This boy has brought sorrow. This boy has brought pain. This boy has brought hardship. This boy has carried me to the very gates of death. And now I'm about to draw my last breath. Call his name Benoni. And about that time, they speak his name. And maybe the midwife comes out and says, Jacob, this boy has been born. And Rachel said, and we're to call him Benoni. Jacob said, oh, he may be the son of her sorrow, but we're going to call his name Benjamin, because he is the son of my right hand. Amen. And he found, amen, this boy found favor in the eyes of the Father. Amen. I'm telling you this morning, there is in that even maybe a prophetical way of the way in which Benjamin's life is going to be lived, and statements that are going to be said about it throughout the Word of God that we find in this boy Benjamin, and even in the day of his birth that he is going to receive within him, my friend, a twofold nature. He's going to have a twofold testimony. Amen. Some are going to remember that he's just full of sorrow. And there's going to be days he's going to be Benoni. He'll not only be travailed to his mother, he'll be travailed to his father, he'll be travailed to his siblings, he'll be travailed to society. Amen. But oh, I'm glad every time the Father called him by name. Even from the days of his boyhood, he was always Benjamin. Amen. He was always Benjamin. No matter on his best day or his worst day. Amen. He was always Benjamin to the Father. He was always the son of my right hand. Amen. That seems to indicate, Brother Mike, that Benjamin said, I'm going to hold his hand. He's the son of my right hand. I will hold him with my right hand. And when he stumbles, it'll be the son of my right hand. That I will sustain, and I will strengthen, and I will stable. I will help him. I'll help him learn how to walk. I'll help him to learn what direction to go. Amen. He can reach up to my right hand when he's feeling like he's spinning out of control, and he'll find balance because he is the son of my right hand. And I say this morning that at the fact that we're born into this world, we're born sinners. Thank God there's a birth that's predicated on the coming of Christ. Amen. A new birth, a new beginning. Amen. And I want to tell you this morning, amen, we're born in this world with sin and sorrow. Amen. We create sin and sorrow. Amen. We create travail and hardship on ourselves and on everybody around us. What I want you to understand is that if you're saying to the Heavenly Father, you'll always be Benjamin. Amen. You'll always be able to reach up to the Father's hand. Amen. The Father's right hand always has a hold on you. Amen. All this debate, it's raising up again in our day about men losing their salvation. What a bunch of rubbish. Amen. When I got saved, amen, listen, I still have my flesh, amen, but in the Father, amen, in the Father, his right hand, amen, it stabilizes my life. Amen. You're looking at somebody who is the son of the Father's right hand. You say, but I followed you around, you Benoni sometimes, that's right, but to the Father, I'm always Benjamin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You'll find something interesting about Benjamin and all his seed after him. Oh, I'm about to shout. Over and over and over. In fact, we can illustrate it in three different places. In fact, there was a judge in the book of Judges by the name of Ehud. Ehud was of the tribe of Benjamin, and the Bible said he was left-handed. Left-handed. The Bible said in Chronicles about some men who were Benjamites and had become masters with the sling. They can use a stone and a sling, and they were very accurate and very deadly and very fatal in the battlefield. And the Bible said this in those 700 Benjamites, that they were all, every one of them, were left-handed. There were dozens of men in the army of David. The Bible said, Brother Gerald, they were of the tribe of Benjamin, and all of them were left-handed. Hallelujah. Somebody said, what about all them left-handed Benjamites? And I've done a little bit of studying, looking up on that this week. And they claim that every time that is referenced, that it is a reference to being restricted in some way to the right hand, and that the left hand has been strengthened. They claim that maybe the reason there were so many left-handed Benjamites is that they literally, when they were young, tied their right hand down and restricted it, making them use their left hand to develop those skills. I don't know about all that. I don't know about all that history. I don't know all about the genetics and some of the things that myth. And I read this week trying to explain about all them left-handed Benjamites. But here's what I know. Come here, Isaac. Amen. Amen. If you're the son of the Father's right hand and the Father's, amen, you're the son of the Father's right hand, amen, that means you got to hold the Father with the left hand. There's the Father's right hand strengthening the son of the right hand in his left side, preparing him for battle, preparing him for work, preparing him to overcome the enemy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm glad, thank God. Amen, amen. On my left side, I can turn and I am the son. I am the son of the Father's right hand. Amen. Somebody said, oh, them left-handed people, they're weird. That's what all us right-handers think about all you left-handers. You're all weird. You're strange. You do things backwards. Amen. You work from the wrong side of your brain. Amen. But you know what, as you're thinking about it? Amen. God's children are supposed to be weird. They're supposed to be different. They're not supposed to be like everybody else. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad when I got born in the family of God and was made a son of his right hand. Amen. I may be an oddball. I may be weird. I may be strange, but I'm in the Father's family. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Amen. I didn't know this was going to preach like that. I'm having a time. Amen. As a boy, amen, let me back up. As the baby boy of the family, everybody loved Benjamin. Everybody loved Benjamin. There seems to be, as Joseph, we know the story, as he was the father's favorite. He was the one the father gave all his attention to. And it seems as when Joseph was sold by his brothers, had all of their jealousy, that, boy, I got to hurry. Man, there's so much liberty to preach this morning. Hallelujah. I wish I had a voice, amen, to really let it roll. But it seems like when word is brought to Jacob that Joseph, they lied. They said Joseph, in fact, they didn't even say it. They just gave the fake bloody coat of Joseph to Jacob, and he made the assumption that Joseph's dead. His favorite son has been slain. So the father turned, it would seem as though that Jacob took all that he had for Joseph. Hallelujah. At the word of him being slain and directed it all at Benjamin. Glory to God. I didn't see that in the deer stand this week, but I'm about to shout. He took after the word was, after after the announcement of a slain Joseph, he took all that affection, all that love that he had for Joseph. And it seems like in the scripture, Brother Larry, he began to bestow it upon Benjamin. Amen. Boy, I'm glad. 2,000 years ago, the favored son came in the world, and it wasn't a lie. He was slain, and he was killed, and the father knew that it was. And he allowed all that to happen so he could take all his love and bestow it on Benjamins like you and me. Amen. Benjamin the boy. So he was loved of Jacob in a very special way. You see that when the boys are getting ready to go to Egypt, and Jacob said, y'all can go, but you're not taking Benjamin. You're not taking Benjamin. Benjamin's the baby. Amen. You see that even with Joseph, who has been through all sorts of hardship. He's a man that I kind of see a man that he's kind of hardened, and he realizes his brothers are there, that he's going to go through this long ordeal of treating them a certain way to reveal himself. And he held up and he could deal with them. And he went through all his plan until he seen Benjamin. And when he seen Benjamin, his heart melted and he broke down and began to weep. Why? Because he's the loved little baby boy. Amen. Why, you know he's loved because even them other 10 brothers of Joseph and Benjamin had affection and concern for Benjamin. One preacher said, if that crowd loves you, then man, you have attained to something. They don't love nobody. Amen. When the cup was discovered in Benjamin's bag, and Joseph said, you're going to leave Benjamin here. Amen. And they spoke up and they said, dear God, don't take Benjamin, take us instead of Benjamin. Why? Because he's the baby boy. Amen. Now, I'm the eldest sibling in my family, which makes me the best looking and the smartest and the strongest and the greatest because I'm the eldest. How many of y'all's the youngest? How many of y'all's the little baby? You know how I knew that? All y'all, you raised your hand with entitlement right there. Me. Amen. You know why? Because you the little baby. Little babies of the family turn into spoiled, rotten brats. Everybody loves the baby. And Benjamin is Benjamin the boy. He's been birthed in the family. He's loved of the father. He's loved of Joseph. He's loved of Jacob. I mean, buddy, I'm telling you, they handle him with kid gloves. They have an affection and a bond with this last of the sons born. He's special to everybody in the family. Amen. So how do you know that? My family tells me that Julie is spoiled and that I've made her that way. And, Daddy, you give her anything you won't give us. My answer is just simply this. If you was as good and perfect as she is, you'd get the same treatment. Somebody help me. That's how the baby of the family is looked at. And I say this morning, I'm glad I'm in the family of God. Amen. Amen. I know being around the family of God ain't always easy. Amen. Well, look at that. I'm not going to get all this preached this morning. This thing's growing on me. Brother Jack, I understand. We don't always get treated well around the family of God, around church. Amen. I understand that.
Amen. But can I just say this morning, I'm glad I'm a part of the family of God. I'm glad I'm in the family this morning. Amen. I've been out there in the world. Amen. The world may act like they love you, but you know what I've learned? Amen. There ain't no love out there in the world. Amen. There ain't nothing out there that, amen, they'll be with you through thick and thin. Amen. You lose your strength. You lose your job. You lose your money. You lose what you have to offer. Amen. I promise you, your friends, they'll bail out on you. Thank God all these years. I've been in the family of God. I've been some walk off and leave, but some of the most true blow people to ever love my life has been around the family of God. That's exactly right. Well, you know, somebody hurt me. Grow up. Amen. Greatest thing about your life, if you're saved, is that you're a part of the family of God. Amen. We're in a loving family. I looked it up this week over and over and over in the book of 1 John. John the Beloved said, love one another, love one another, love one another. And you know what I've been getting all these 26 years of being saved? Amen. God's people been loving on me. I've been a loving on the earth because I'm part of the family of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Benjamin the boy. Y'all want to go on? Amen. I don't know if you can stand it. I don't know if I can. Notice with me, Benjamin the brazen. Now they've been in Egypt a little while. They've been down in the land of Egypt, very wicked culture. Amen. It ain't becoming to the seed of Abraham. And they lived down there long enough. Benjamin now has gone from a baby and through boyhood. I don't know how old he is, Brother Tim. But now Jacob's getting ready to depart, and he feels the need to bring his family around his bed so he can give them a personal word. Now what he's going to do, Brother Maurice, is some of them, he's going to speak upon them a blessing. And he's going to do with each of these boys, make comparisons of their life. You are like this or like that. And several inches, five or six of these boys, he's going to make comparison of them. Some are going to be like a lion's whelp, that is a cub of a lad. And how he's going to grow and be strong and be mighty and to go forth in battle. And he's going to make several comparisons upon each of these boys, one by one, from the eldest to the least. Goes through 11, and now it's the baby boy's time. Benjamin is summoned to come before the father. The father said, in the land of Egypt, upon his deathbed, to the baby boy, Benjamin, you're a raven wolf. You are a raven wolf. That's a strong statement. Amen. Jacob had watched this boy, Benjamin, grow up. He'd watched him be spoiled. He'd watched him be cared for. He'd watched him as he enjoyed the privileges of the family that he had been born into. He watched as he grew older and as he matured, and the longer he began to watch, he began to see elements in Benjamin's life. He began to see qualities about Benjamin. And when it came to the last of the 12 signs, he's going to make a very short declaration about Benjamin. It's going to be void of any kind of blessing. It's going to be void of any kind of commendation. He's not going to praise him. He's not going to dote on him in this seat. He's been doted on for too long. Now Jacob says, Benjamin, you don't need a blessing. What you need is a warning. Jacob says to Benjamin, I see some things in you that need to be called out. He said, what you need to understand that I, your father, how many of y'all know something? And don't get mad at me. I don't need my kids mad at me, right? I don't need you mad at me. How many of y'all understand daddy can see through your junk? I can see Benjamin strut in that day. The baby boy. The baby boy's in the house. The baby of the family's here. Daddy's probably going to say something real good about me. I hear daddy say, you ain't nothing but a raven wolf. All you do is devour and divide. You listen to me today? The warning this morning that is sounded upon is one Benjamin. Don't forget, we're preaching on that war with the wolf. We'll get to that in a minute. Amen. At the calling of his sons upon his deathbed. The indictment against Benjamin is that Benjamin is raven as a wolf. I want to remind you this morning that throughout the scripture it speaks of the wolf or wolves on many occasions. But you'll never find anything good or anything positive that is ever said about a wolf in your King James Bible. Nothing positive. The only hint it may be a positive thing is prophecies about that coming millennial kingdom in which the wolf will lie down with the lamb, and then the wolf will become a herbivore and will eat the grass in the field as though it is some kind of cattle. Amen. That's the only thing, and even in that, the scripture is saying that there's got to become a change in that wolf's nature. There's nothing positive in the Word of God that is spoken of about a wolf. And yet Jacob is sounding the alarm to the son Benjamin that greater than a blessing, what you need greater than a blessing from your father is you need to hear the warning of your father. And I see some things in you that are very, very dangerous, that are not good, that are not positive. Son, you need to check on this and make sure you go to war with the wolf that's in you. Amen. How we doing? Wolves in the scripture are described as the enemies of God. Read about them in Ezekiel 22:27, raving wolves. The evening wolves of Habakkuk, chapter number 1 and verse number 8, Zephaniah 3 and in verse number 3, speak of the enemies of God. Amen. Different countries that would arise and come against God, the people of God, because they hated God themselves, and the enemies of God are described as wolves. In Matthew 7:14, we find that wolves are described as the enemies of the church. Here's what Jesus said to his disciples, sending them out. Behold, I send you forth. I send you forth as lambs in the midst of wolves. Amen. In the midst of wolves. And he said, what you've got to do, amen, on this ministry thing of ministering among wolves and wolf-like nature is to be harmless as doves and wise as serpents. John chapter number 10 and verse number 12, that great text and chapter on our great shepherd and his sheepfold, and how he calls his sheep in, and how they gain entrance, how they know his name and know his voice and follow him. He warned them of a hireling. Amen. And what is a hireling? John 10:12. A hireling is when that one sees that the wolf is coming, and because they're not his own sheep, he leaveth them so that the wolf can catch the lambs and scatter them. Lot can be said in there, but the Lord is painting the picture that the wolf is the enemy of the church. Amen. Benjamin, you're a raven wolf. Say, oh, I'd never talk to my children that way. Amen. I don't like it. There's times my daddy'd look at me and say, you need to square up, boy. He may not call me names. Sometimes he did call me names. Amen. My name's Jeffrey. There's times he called me other things that I knew it was serious business. Boy. Come on now. If daddy said, boy, I'm telling you. You know what he's saying? I see something in you. I'm sounding the alarm. I'm sounding the warning. You need to check yourself. Come on now. Isaac's rubbernecking back there to Tim for some reason. Amen. Why? Because, amen, we all know when we get called out, business just picked up. Jacob looked at Benjamin and said, you're Raven Wolf's son. Amen. Enemies of the church. Nothing good, nothing positive. Paul said in Acts 20, I thought Brother Tim was going to get into it. This morning, Acts 20, 28, the Apostle Paul sent the elders in the church of Ephesus and that region down, and he said, listen, I'm going away. I know I'm not going to be gone long, and there's going to be men that are going to creep in. And he said, here's what I'm telling you about them. That they are ravenous wolves and are going to sow discord and are going to try to tear down the gospel and are going to try to rip up every truth that I've delivered to you. They're wolves. Be warned. They're your enemy. Amen. So the idea is this is not a good thing to be called a raven wolf. In fact, Jacob hits upon this himself. Look with me in Genesis 49 in verse number 27. Benjamin shall raveth as a wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. The words raven and devour and divide are all of the actions of a wolf. They're tearing, they're gnawing, they're eating upon, they're dividing asunder. He is describing Benjamin as a creature that devours and ravens and divides. The wolf, by his very nature, is cruel, greedy, unsatiable, and destructive. Amen. Brother Mike's here, and I guess I can say it, they have wolves. And even a caged wolf. I seen one of them the other day up there at the show. Amen. That thing was that big. You say, no, it wasn't. It might as well have been to me. Amen. That thing, buddy, I'm telling you, was huge. I wouldn't dare get in that cage in that pen. I watch that crazy man over there crawl in that pen with him. You know why they got to keep him caged? Because a wolf has a nature in him. And that nature is not a positive nature. It's not for your good and your benefit. Wolves, by their very nature, they're greedy, they're insatiable, they're never satisfied. They have this nature about them let me word it this way. What does a wolf do? Amen. Y'all ready for this? A wolf does what he wants to do. He don't take orders from nobody. A wolf is massive. I'm not talking about your little fee-fee and foo-foo that climbs up on your lap. Amen. I'm talking about a wild, amen, 100% wolf. He gonna do what he wants to do. He don't ask for no permission. He does not live by any boundaries. Amen. A wolf does what he wants, goes where he wants. A wolf kills what it wants. A wolf eats what it wants. The wolf at the end of the day leaves behind a bloody crime scene of destruction. There are tales of wolves in the wild that they will kill. They'll kill a particular prey and eat very little off of it and then just leave it there as though it's some kind of prize. You listening? Jacob said to Benjamin, "You're a raven wolf." He said, "Preacher, what does all of this have to do with me? I'm Benjamin the boy. I've been birthed in the family." Yes, Benjamin was. I'm loved of the Father. I'm loved of the church. I'm loved in the family of God, and that is true. But may we hear the warning today that maybe there's something on the inside of us in our fleshly nature that is as a raven wolf and is devouring and dividing. I'm watching in these days, dear God, help us. I'm watching in these days that there seem to be certain individuals that all they do is tear up and rip to shreds and devour anything good in their life. Rip it up like it means nothing to them. Go on down the road like if you're hurt or if you're wounded by them, well, you got to get over it. You got to forgive you. You got to be a Christian and all. Come on now. I'm going to tell you, hey man, we're at war with wolves in these days. There is a war today. That war, listen, and I could run you through the scripture, Galatians. In Galatians, let me think of my text. I believe it's chapter number 5. In Galatians chapter number 5, the Apostle Paul deals with, he talks about, hey, listen, here is the law of God that you should love one another and love your neighbor as yourself. But here's the warning. He said, but if ye bite and devour one another. Amen. He sounded the warning. Why? Amen. Because there are wolves inside, amen, of our fleshly nature that are looking to come out. Boy, I'm getting ahead of myself. Amen. All I'm telling you is watch out for the wolf. Amen. Sometimes we think about wolves. We think about how others have bit us or devoured us or divided us. I'll be honest, it's pretty easy for me to see the wolf in you. It's very hard sometimes, can I be honest, to see the wolf in me. Don't take my message too far. Don't say I'm saying things I'm not saying. All I'm telling you is that which is born of the flesh is flesh. God gave up on the flesh in the Garden of Eden. This bunch of stupid doctrine going around, well, you know, in your flesh you can do it, you can choose, you can decide. I'm not saying it don't come without choice and without decision. I'm telling you, in your flesh dwelleth no good thing. Paul said, in my flesh, I will put no confidence. I'm not trusting in my ability to decide and to choose. I'm not saying it's without that. I'm just telling you, you have a wolf inside of you that is raving. And it wants to destroy your life. Wants to destroy your family. It wants to destroy your children. It wants to destroy your faith. It wants to destroy your ability to live for God. It wants to destroy your testimony. Are y'all listening? Amen. There is a wolf in our flesh today. Amen. And it is on the rampage. I'm watching it. Men who are losing their families because they won't do war with the wolf. Children whose lives are going to be scarred in days and years to come because they won't do war with the wolf. Amen. Amen. Type in the flesh. The thing is, you can see in some some people's life who profess to be in the family of God. I'm not here to argue, are they or are they not? Amen. I'm just telling you, I'm preaching what God told me to preach. Amen. If you look back over your life and all there is, amen, is a testimony of bloody crime scene after bloody crime scene, indulging of your appetite, indulging, my friend, in what you want. Nobody going to tell me. Nobody going to tell me how to live. Amen. I'm telling you, there's a war you need to be engaged in. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Hey, so much liberty right now, Brother David. I got to be careful. Amen. Are y'all listening? There's a wolf. There's a wolf. Benjamin, you've been doted on. You've been pampered. You come in here wanting me to give you a blessing. But your greatest need is not another blessing. You've been blessed more than all these combined already. You need a warning. And they'll go on and they'll say, well, I don't think it's all that big a deal. I'm going, I see. I mean, I'm on the outside looking in. And I see the path you're going down, letting the wolf have control, is going to lead your life to destruction. Amen. Well, Benjamin the brazen. He's brazen as a wolf. Do my own thing. Can I just say this morning, that is a terrible, terrible, vile attitude for somebody who claims to be in the family of God to have. Some of y'all, your streak of rebellion shows on your face, shows in your attitude, shows how you walk in the door. Amen. And guess what? It shows in me too. I'm just preaching at you. I'm sounding the warning. God's people need to be careful of Benjamin the brazen. Number three, Benjamin the beloved. We fast forward now all the way into the days of Moses. We're hundreds of years removed from Benjamin. You're a wolf. Hallelujah. Moses is sitting down. He's calling the elders in the tribe. He comes to Benjamin. Benjamin's not last in this setting. Benjamin is brought in the order in which he's called. And here is what Moses said. Benjamin, you are the beloved of God. Benjamin the beloved. He tells him, oh, look at it real quick. I know we got to quit. Lord have mercy. It's 12:05. Amen. I'm trying, Riley. I'm trying, okay? Amen. Deuteronomy chapter number 33. Is this helping anybody? Oh, Lord, have mercy. The Bible said in Deuteronomy 33, verse number 12, and of Benjamin he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long. Benjamin, I want you to understand, I know what the Father told you. I know the warning, and you deserve the warning, and you needed the warning. And I hope you heeded the warning. You'll find Benjamin, the Benjamites. Buddy, you study their history, and I'm telling you, amen, they're all over the place. Sometimes they're a blessing. Sometimes they're a raven wolf. Sometimes they're doing good. Sometimes they're doing bad. Amen. Sometimes they're creating sorrow. Sometimes they're living up to being the son of the right hand. Here's what Moses said. He said, you're the beloved of the Lord. Amen. He shall dwell between his shoulders. Y'all remember what Jesus said in Luke 15, the parables of the lost things. There's the lost, I'm working them backwards, the lost son, the lost silver. The first parable he gave, Brother Larry, of lost things was the parable of the lost sheep. What shepherd having 100 sheep, if he lose one, will not leave the 99 in the fold and go for the one little lost lamb? When he finds him, what does he do? The Bible said that he puts him on his shoulders. Amen. Why? Because he's the beloved lamb. I preached on that, amen, some time ago, but he's the beloved lamb. He's the lamb that is left. He's a lamb, probably one of those blemished lambs. Amen, unfit to die, unfit for sacrifice, unfit to shed and spill its blood. But the shepherd loves that blemished, lost, scattered, wandering, wayward lamb. When he finds him, he puts him on his shoulders. This is a description. Moses is giving a description of a shepherd, a shepherd's love for his little lamb. So Jacob said, Benjamin, you're a wolf. Moses said, Benjamin, you're a lamb. Which is it? Depends on what day. Depends on what day. Now, before you come to me and say, I'll tell you right now, I always do everything good and I've eradicated, I have experienced the eradication of my flesh. I'm going to have to start quoting scripture to you and shut you down just like that. Now, I'm not talking about, so you don't go out of here and say I'm saying things that I'm not saying. Bible said drunkards are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Exclamation point. Adulterers and fornication. Amen. He that committeth sin, ongoing sin, the Bible says of the devil. He's not of the family of God. So everybody okay? I'm not justifying sin. I'm talking about a nature that is in me. Not to use as an excuse, well, you know, I just got the wolf and I just... No, what you are is a child of the devil who needs to get born again. I just got this wolf and I got sins that easily beset me. And the Bible said you're supposed to, if you're a child of God, to lay them aside. Lay them aside. You don't sit back and say, well, I'm a wolf. Ain't nothing I can do about it. Got the wolf. I'm a lamb and I'm a wolf. I'm a lamb and I'm a wolf. Well, listen, sometimes we act like wolves. How many of us have come into the fold of the Lord and get bit on around God's family? Amen. Amen. And somebody bites you. Now, it's real easy and it's real shallow to say, I tell you right now, their problem is they ain't even saved. That's too shallow. Maybe they're not. Maybe they need to be. But maybe they're a child of God that had a wolf moment. I didn't say a wolf lifestyle. I said a wolf moment of time where they said what they shouldn't have said, done what they shouldn't have done, bit something they shouldn't have bit. Amen. Because if we're being honest, in Christ, we're just lambs. In Christ, we're perfect. In Christ, we have no faults. We have no issues, nothing, Brother Maurice, to deal with. Mr. Ronnie, we are in Christ, positionally, absolutely perfect. But in this right here, there is a wolf in there. And I pray he don't show up often. If he keeps showing up every day, you got bigger problems than what I'm preaching. But every now and then, Mike, that wolf wants to come out. Say, but you're Benjamin. Yeah, a wolf and a lamb. Wolf and a lamb. Now, I'm more lamb than I am wolf, but there's some wolf still in there.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Am I making any sense? So here's what I wanted to know. How do you keep the wolves at bay? If I'd have had any sense, I'd ask the Frasers and talk with them. They could probably school me in this and probably give me a long list. Maybe there's a long list. One guy, he said, you can't do nothing with a wolf except kill it. And I thought, well, the Frasers got a bunch of them over there in the cage. Amen. And
He just said, you can't do nothing with them. Just kill them. Amen. But you can't kill every wolf. You never get them all killed. So I looked up, how do you keep the wolves? How do you keep wolves away? How do you scare them off? Y'all ready for this? I think it's the second thing I clicked on. Here's what it said. And there's a lot. I'll just give you this. Because I about had a shouting spell. It said, you need the light of fire, start a fire, and make a noise. Start a fire, make a noise. Want to scare the wolf away? Light a fire, let the light shine, and make a noise. Boy, just like that, I read it and I thought that's exactly what we need. Amen. Even in my own life, when I'm walking in the light of God's truth, when I'm living in the fire of the Spirit of God, amen, it's amazing, boy, how I can keep that flesh at bay. Amen, I can keep that flesh crucified. I can keep that flesh from rearing its head. Amen, when I have the light and the fire of God burning in my life, when I'm making that noise of prayer to the Heavenly Father, amen, when I'm lifting up that noise of praise to the God that saved me and I'm expressing my joy in an audible noise. It's amazing how that all assists in keeping the flesh over there so the lamb nature can live out its life. Y'all listening? How much fire you got? Could it be the reason your life is being lived, devoured, and divided, and ravened? You ain't been walking in the light of truth you've been given. And that wolf is wearing some of you out. It's wearing you out, and let's just be honest, it's wearing people out around you. Because you won't walk in the light of truth you've been given. You want to deal with the wolf? Now you say, I don't want to deal with the wolf. Again, you got bigger problems than what I'm preaching on. If there's something in you that says, I don't want to deal with my flesh, I don't want to deal with sin, I don't want to be one of God's little lambs and live for the glory of God, then you have deep-rooted spiritual issues that go beyond what this preacher's preaching. Amen. Amen. There's something on the inside of you that says, yes, tired of the wolf rearing his head. What do I do? How much time you been praying? When's the last time you say, preacher, I'm struggling with temptation and sin and to do evil and to do wrong. I'm struggling. I know I'm going long this morning. Please hang with me. I feel like the Lord is trying to help us. What you may need to do, amen, is come in tonight, or maybe not even wait till tonight, and to get on this altar and call out to God and lift up your hands and make a joyful noise and bless and praise and worship the God that saved you. Amen. Some of you, it's been a long time, some of you in the choir, since I've seen you raise your hand. You say, preacher, I'm getting wore out by the wolf. Preacher, could it be that easy? First thing I read, that second link I clicked on said, start a fire. Light and noise is how you fend off the wolf. And I'm telling you today, it has worked in my life. It has worked in my life, and it will work in your life. But you got to want to work on it. Gotta want to work on it. Amen. Well, are you at war with the wolf? If you're saved, you are. If you've been born in the family, you are. Say, oh, I feel so doted on. Everybody loves me. Amen. Good. You still got something on the inside. The Father gives a warning about. Be at war with the wolf. Well, we okay? I went a little long, didn't I? And I'm not even sorry about it. Amen. God gave us a message today. I got that from the deer stand this week. Can I go hunt again this week? Would that be all right? Amen. God keep giving us stuff like that in the deer stand. I'm going to go back to the deer stand. I'm going to tell you something. You better be at war. Better be at war. Amen. All right. Come to the piano, sister. Amen. It may be today you bit on somebody. May have to go get that worked out. Get on the altar, say, Lord, forgive me, and then go get somebody by the hand and say, you know what? I realize I've hurt you. I've let division come between us. Because that's what the wolf does. Amen. The lamb wants all that reconciled. Come on now. Maybe this morning your wolf nature, that insatiable desire to eat what you want to eat, go where you want to go, do what you want to do, has prevailed in your life. And as a child of God, you know you're wrong. Maybe you need to get on this altar, say, Lord, help me. Help me. Help me live up to my name. Amen. However the Lord spoke to you, this altar's open. Let's stand together.